time for us now to have a conversation with our guest, Tshegofatso Besenar, who's the director of Southern Africa Programs at IB's Reproductive Health. Thank you very much for joining us, Tshegofatso. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So Amaze Africa has launched an age-appropriate sex education videos, and this is obviously in conjunction with what UNICEF is doing and what research that UNICEF and other bodies have taken into cognizance around sex education, prioritizing girls' education when it comes to reproductive health care. Tell us about the background of Amaze initiative.
Thank you so much again for having me. So Amaze is a global initiative and was really informed, like you said, different research done by different bodies, including UNICEF, and a lot of work also having been done by other, you know, programs on the ground around the world, South America, Africa, and Asia, and so forth. And so it's an incorporation of feedback from different backgrounds to make sure that there's an understanding of the diversity of young people across the world, so that in developing these videos, we really take into consideration the content, but also the different settings that, you know, this content is going to be delivered in. So it has been around for a couple of years, but specifically in Africa, it was introduced in 2017, disseminating videos in the Africa region, and only last year, July, IB's Reproductive Health then became the lead of the Sub-Saharan Africa region, to make sure that we then disseminate, you know, into like wider geographies in the region. But yeah, it's something that we're very proud of, because beyond being age appropriate, I think what we pride ourselves in is the fact that it's very adaptive, in that we make sure that we don't assume that like a single video can work in like, you know, different geographies. But like I say, we make sure that we really adapt to different settings, content, and so forth and so on, so that young people in those different contexts are able to actually relate to the videos. They talk to them, and in doing that, they're more likely to actually be motivated to kind of respond in a way that informs, you know, their health, their reproductive health, as well as how that intersects with other pieces such as like their values, human rights, and so forth and so on.
But now, when it comes to sex education, we understand the importance of it, but we also understand the would-be dangers of it if it's not delivered correctly, and how it can sway when it comes to biases. How are these videos relevantly speaking to age, but also making sure that there are no biases between gender, and also taking into view that the community, sexual community, has expanded? We've got the LGBTQIA plus community that we need to consider and educate our young people about.
That is such a great question. What's very important is really to use research as well as engaging with communities and different stakeholders in making sure that this is like really, really deep understanding of how to navigate those different pieces. Because once we understand, for example, when you look at the LGBTQ plus and just like, you know, the gender fluidity now, it's understood differently across different geographies. So what we need to do is to make sure that there is like really intense research engagement with different stakeholders who work with young people, your teachers, your government, your parents as well, who are also really key, to make sure that there's an understanding of how different people intersect with these terminologies and concepts in their communities. And in doing that, then we make sure that that is all incorporated in the videos. You know, and I must say, it hasn't gone without challenges. Even now in the Africa region, we're still seeing challenges where there's a lot of, like, you know, resistance to some of the topics. But it's really all about teaching each other and engaging and making sure that beyond, you know, just looking at those concepts that I just mentioned, it just begins with, you know, sexuality education itself. Like, just that, to begin with, that it's not like everywhere where we've been introduced, like speaking about Amaze, it's been welcome. So it takes a lot of firstly understanding what sexuality education is, dismantling some of the myths that come with it, that is about teaching, you know, young people to have sex, but really making sure that there's an understanding that it's about making sure that they get provided information and other life skills for their health, for their well-being, and it's in relation with not just sexuality, but like I said, human rights, like their values, their health, and also, you know, them being informed with information in terms of how they choose their relationships and how they become, you know, in those relationships and demand respect, while not ignoring some of the cultural and social norms that actually intersect with that. And very often, I think that is where the backlash and the misunderstanding comes in, where sometimes, you know, some cultures decide what topics you can teach, you know, children, which ones you can teach children. But it all boils down to really making sure that there isn't any assumptions, but a lot of work is done in terms of engaging with every single, you know, stakeholder and really highlighting those principal relationships with communities as well, because young people grow in these communities. So how are these concepts actually understood? So when we inform the videos, it's very clear that it's representing how they are experienced in the real realities. And that is how we try and make it, you know, applicable and as well as like response to those different issues that you spoke about.
So you say that, you know, there are some regions within the continent that are still very apprehensive or not open to certain topics or even some of the videos themselves because of the content. But is this not based on the fact that speaking about sex in general in African tradition or cultures, it's just a taboo thing. It's not spoken of. And also now the way things are, you know, it makes it even difficult for parents and adults and guardians to speak about sexuality, whether it's about the abuse spectrum side of sexuality or inclusivity of sexuality. It's just difficult. So how do we firstly engage the guardians, the parents, us, on open sexuality discussions in order for us to be able to get empowered so we can empower young people to protect themselves and also to speak to them about the dangers of prematurely entering into sexual relations.
Yeah, exactly. So amazing videos and a whole, you know, social media platforms just for parents, where, you know, they get to engage and really give some of the highlights or guidance in terms of how to engage young people, firstly. And then we also have different programs by different partners. You mentioned UNESCO earlier. There's work by UNESCO. There's work by, you know, ourselves, our Reproductive Health, whereby we have on-the-ground dialogues with parents, you know, to make sure that we firstly try and understand what the concerns are, what the fears are. And very common, the fear is that, you know, young people are going to be given ideas about how to have sex. And the reality is that, you know, in the times that we live in, young people have access to all sort of information, inappropriate, you know, through social media. Young people today get phones so early. As a parent, you know, we always think about when do you give your child a phone, because we are very aware of, you know, the kind of information that is on social media, online, and very often that is not informing our young people and children in a way that is going to positively, you know, contribute to their well-being. So what has been important is really making sure that there's like a multi-level discussions with parents, reaching them on the ground, face-to-face during dialogue, hearing their concerns and being able to say, we live in a country, we live in a continent where we still have, you know, high rates of new infections, you know, when it comes to HIV. We live in a continent where we still have high rates of, you know, teenage pregnancies. And during the COVID pandemic, we also, you know, learned that there had been an increase of pregnancies amongst even like your younger teens and as early as 10-year-olds. So all of these things are happening because, you know, there is something that we're not getting right, you know. And as some of the research that UNESCO has done, is really, really key that comprehensive sexual education has been seen where it is correctly delivered, being age appropriate, also like having people who are trained to deliver it, there is change in terms of those different pieces, like a drop in pregnancy, a drop in infections. So what we engage parents in is really taking some of those best lessons and best practices from other geographies where it has worked and say, this is where CSE had been implemented and we are actually seeing changes. We are also, you know, having young people who are in our program who came in, you know, with very little information and are able to also come back to us and give information and feedback around how being part of this program has actually empowered them into, you know, knowing when to, like, you know, understanding consent, for example. And so we have these examples that we share with parents to make sure that we engage them and they see real life stories of people where, you know, CSE has made changes. So what we encourage parents to do is to really be open-minded and also provide safe, you know, judgment-free spaces for young people to speak to them. Young people want to be listened to. You know, as older people, we want, you know, young people. And I always say, think about how you have liked to be engaged as a young person and how that could have shaped where you are today. So it's like providing that space for them to be able to rather have them come to you than go to Facebook and God knows what other website to kind of hear this information. We also encourage parents and other guardians to also learn more, like, you know, actively engage with this subject and familiarize yourself so that when the young person comes to you, if you're not able to give them the information, at least you know where to refer them to make sure that they get accurate information that is actually going to empower them and give them that ability to develop into a learner who can add to our economy, because we need healthy learners who have made, you know, decisions that have, you know, informed them being healthy so that they can then be in the workplace and so forth and so on. So guidance are very key, and they also need the support the same way that our teachers also need support, because in South Africa, for example, we engage teachers and very often they say, well, I did my teacher degree, but there wasn't TSE in it. So IBES, Rhodes University, Department of Basic Education, UNFPA and other partners are currently working to see how do we inform the pre-service degree or teacher to make sure that we incorporate CSE. So they also go into schools feeling like they're equipped to not just deliver it, but, you know, to have an understanding of which, you know, topics do you deliver when and how does that also be informed by the issue of age appropriateness.
So, before we wrap up this conversation of ours, I really want us to look at the impact the videos are having in our communities, especially because when we speak of sex, sexual reproduction, health, we are placing a lot of emphasis on women, young girls, adolescent girls, because consent is something that is really not given to them as an empowerment tool, and also just to make sure that they engage in healthy relations no matter which way they are swayed. So how have these videos made an impact when it comes to female reproductive health?
So the videos, so for example, I'll give examples in Uganda, Namibia, some of the countries that have been implementing videos before us. So they have made an impact in that they, you know, have also engaged governments, and some of the governments in those countries, you know, are starting to actually buy in to kind of incorporate the videos into some of the work that is done there. We're seeing young people coming forward being like wanting to be part of these conversations, which is like an absolutely good thing. In South Africa, we're working with our partner UNFPA, who has been leading discussions with basic education at national level. And the videos are on the Department of Basic Education TV. So that is an indication of how they have been seen to be impactful. So young people and learners are able to actually, you know, view them on our department TV station. They're impactful in that, you know, they're currently used in other programs. There's a MOCA program that we've been running in South Africa since 2013. They have been absolutely amazing in starting conversations because of the animation, the fun way of tackling, you know, sex education, because like you say, it's often seen as very awkward. So the fact that it uses like fun, you know, ways, it's animation, young people don't see it like a typical, older people in front of you. We are seeing a lot of improvement, and the entry level of, you know, improvement is the fact that young people are engaging. We need engagement to happen and then we see like how impactful it can be. And we're looking forward to continue the work. And in a couple of years, we can speak and say, what have you also seen in terms of teen pregnancies in the country, HIV rates, gender-based violence, particularly in areas where these videos have been disseminated.
Where can young people, parents, teachers, and community leaders access the information and videos?
The videos are on amaze.org. It's a website. And we also will have like a Facebook page. So when you say amaze, the Facebook page will come on the website. Otherwise, you can also reach out to ibsupporthealth.org. You can call us on 011-966-7741. For more information, and we'll be available to provide information and also come to you if you need more like in-person engagement.
Tsegafaso, thank you so very much. Your initiative is definitely going to mark a change. We're looking forward to a better statistics when it comes to reproductive health care and other things for our young people because of these amazing videos. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Patricia.